What's good, everyone? Last night, a new episode of Vanderpump Rules, Season 11, Episode 11, May the Best Woman Win, aired on Bravo, along with the after show that can be found on YouTube or Peacock. Last week, Peacock released an uncensored and extended version of the episode they aired, but this week, they did not, and I am angry. I blame Alex Baskin. I got beef with Alex Baskin. However, The Valley and Vanderpump Villa also had new episodes this week, which I will briefly touch on. However, there was a lot of filming condensed into one episode last night on Vanderpump Rules. And lucky for you all, I have become the unintentional and unofficial Scandoval historian, providing you all with archived social media content that took place during filming of this season of Vanderpump Rules. So today's episode will be heavy on that content because there is a lot. Let's get into it. Before I begin, I need to remind everyone that this is for entertainment purposes only. Be cool. Don't be all like uncool. As a reminder, make sure you subscribe, follow, share, like, comment, leave a 5-star rating for Bravo and Blaze. Like I said, on today's show, I'm going to make sure that I include all of the social media content that took place during filming to give you more context around what was going on during these scenes that we're seeing on the show. If you are a podcast listener, you may want to check out the visuals here on YouTube because some of the social media content are static images or video with background music that I can't play. So come join us here on YouTube. Let's get started. Okay, as far as social media goes and ancillary podcasts, I'm just going to summarize. Basically, Lala is doing the most. She needs to say less. As much as I'm going to root for Lala, I feel like she's stirring the pot and causing this drama to secure a spot on either Vanderpump Rules the next season or The Valley. And I'm kind of okay with her and Sheena going to The Valley, Vanderpump Rules ending, Ariana and Katie getting their own show, and the Toms just going away. But Lala needs to chill. I don't know what her issue is. According to Reality T on Instagram, Ariana Madix and Katie Maloney hire Tom Sandoval's ex-assistant, Ann Madix. And stay tuned because I may have a special bonus episode of Bravo and Blaze coming up soon with a special guest. Don't want to jinx it. According to Bravo Snarkside, Faith is suing Bravo again. Like, how many times has she sued them already? But according to Pumped Up Tea, Faith also released a paid podcast and she's starring in a movie that's directed by Randall Neck Emmett / Randall Ives. And it's just so crazy to me that this man still has a job and is not in jail. I don't know why anyone would want to work with him. He is scary. In other news, it has come to my attention that I've been blocked by Billy Lee. Somebody sent me one of her posts or something, and it says, like, you can't see this. So I was like, oh my God, who blocked me? It turns out it was Billy Lee, and I don't really care. I'm a little creeped out by it, to be honest, because that means, like, there's an acknowledgement that she feels some sort of way towards my account, which is creepy to me. But then also relieved, too, because, like, she's been creeping me out this season. Like, did she drink the bath water after the cold plunge? It's giving salt burn. Also, something that has been brought to my attention is that Eric from Vanderpump Villa has a tarnished record. I will talk about that a little bit more when we get to Vanderpump Villa. Also, Allie Luber, James Kennedy's girlfriend, her new song, Girls Girl, is coming out on April 12th, and I'm so excited for her.
As I come in peace, I'm not trying to cause problems. I talk about the stars a lot, but not about the stars you thought. What you see is half of me, the other half's gossip.
What you see?
Couldn't be more happy for her. All right, Vanderpump Rules, Season 11, Episode 11, May the Best Woman Win. The episode description is, Ariana finally breaks down over the end of her relationship with Tom. Katie and Schwartz vie for the affections of the same woman. Sandoval and Schwartz attend a singles event, but things go awry when Joe sees Schwartz kissing another girl. Okay, just for context, previously on the last episode, it was a to-be-continued episode from Beach Day. That's where we left off with Ariana going off about how her friend should have her back when Tom makes jabs at her in front of them. So let's go to the first scene. Ariana points out that it's messed up, that her friends don't have her back when Tom is making jabs at her. Brock says, oh, the man is castrated. I could not roll my eyes anymore. Like, why is Brock saying this? He's not castrated. Everyone witnessed him just throw a dig towards Ariana. Like, he's clearly not castrated. Schwartz takes Tom to a bar just to, like, make peace. But I'm annoyed. I'm annoyed by this scene. Like, I don't understand why everyone's like, oh, Ariana, like, why are you so angry? The man dressed up as his mistress for Halloween. Roll footage.
Guys, look who I ran into. It's Raquel from BravoCon day 3. Oh my God. Wow, Raquel, I can't believe you would freaking wear that sweatshirt.
Ariana, are you gonna make a toast?
I'd like to announce. I'm
going to
kill everyone tonight.
Ah! I don't know why, but Schwartz really wanted me to wear this tonight. I don't know. Why he wanted me to wear this, but he said he wanted me to wear it, so I'm wearing it for him.
Where is he?
Somewhere. I don't know. Find out.
You guys want to come to my puppy party?
I gotta hit up Barb tomorrow so she can like fix my ruse.
Barb! Not Barb!
Barb, fix my ruse.
So Tom and Tom go to this bar off of the beach, and Sandoval goes on to talk about the minute details of their house and how Ariana doesn't pull her weight and all of this stuff trying to make her look bad. And we've heard this before. Like, why does he keep saying this? No one gives a crap. He sounds like a hoarder. He clearly has some kind of like mental issue where he's in such denial that he can't face the fact that he may need to get rid of this house. He brings up batteries again, batteries and pens. And the producer even said, like,
you just got destroyed on the internet for saying that. Why would you bring it up again?
I think Ariana's gonna be in for, when she gets her own place, she's gonna be in for like a very rude awakening.
He never answered the question. That is so annoying. Oh my God. Back at the beach, we see Sheena talking about Tori, her nanny, who she was trying to set up with Shorts, but then Katie wound up dating this girl too. And the way that Sheena made it sound was Katie only showed interest in Tori after Sheena mentioned Tori and Tom together. But on the after show, apparently Katie mentioned that it is well known that Katie showed interest before anything happened with Tori and Shorts. So there's this short clip of Shorts calling Katie, or no, Katie called Shorts from the beach to let him know that he left his stuff down there. And if you watch this scene carefully, it's so annoying because you can see Tom Shorts try to weaponize his ignorance and incompetence to get Katie to do something for him, which is to bring his stuff up from the beach. And good for Katie. She goes, I'm just calling to let you know. And she hung up and he's like, oh, I couldn't hear her. That is weaponized incompetence. And we just witnessed it by Mr. Wussy Pussy Tom Shorts. During the speech day, when they're at the bar, Tori shows up. And I love this because she comes and says hi to Sheena. And obviously Katie's right there with them. But then she goes to say hi to Shorts and he's talking to this group of girls sitting next to them that Tom Sandoval approached and offered shots to. And I have to say, Madison, we're a little disappointed in you for accepting the shot without holding Tom Sandoval accountable, because I'm pretty sure those women know who he is. And I just wish that they said, we'll have a round of tequila shots. No worms with mustaches. But no, Madison doesn't support other women. So they're all hanging out and Tori approaches and she gets, I love the way that she approached. She's like, you're not going to introduce me. I'm his girlfriend. And then she's like, no, I'm just kidding. I'm his ex-wife, which is kind of also a little strange considering she's like dating his ex-wife too. But yeah. Sandoval just cannot help himself in this moment. Like, he doesn't know what to do with himself. So he goes over and talks to a group of girls and buys them shots. Like, get a new bit. Gosh, so basic behavior. So this scene is so great because Katie comes in, approaches Shorts with Tori, and basically steals Shorts's girl. And if that is not BDE, I don't know what else is. I loved it. Tom wound up walking away like the wussy pussy that he is, while Katie with her BDE swooped in and won. Best woman won. Take that, Shorts. I didn't forget about you, Shorts. You're not going to get away with this, Shorts. Like I said, I have lots of BTS social media content that took place during filming. Posted about this blind item on the last episode and last week, but I'll read through it again because I think this is accurate. I'm scanning the background to see who wrote this blind item because I'm obsessed with them. It is so Amazing. Let me read it. One of the guys just came back from the bathroom, absolutely hammered. Sandoval is here. Sheena and Lala are consoling Ariana right now, and Ariana is on and off crying, and she keeps saying he shouldn't be here. And production stepped in to calm her down, and my sister went to the bathroom and saw Tom Sandoval flirting with the girl at the bar, and now about four new cameras came in, so we think they're setting up for a scene where they see each other. The girls are saying to Ariana they know the girl who had the affair, Rachel, question mark, was sleeping with more than just Tom. No, so now they're getting up for a new scene, and Ariana goes, can they keep our nachos here? A queen! I love this wine item so much because in this scene, the nachos are there. Love it. Love it. Whoever wrote that, I love you. Love you. In this moment, Sheena and Lala are finally, to me, it seems like this is the first time that we've really seen them, you know, like consoling her, other than when Scandal first happened. But this is the kind of energy that we, I think we want to see all season. And we haven't been seeing that much from Lala and Sheena. Even last night on Watch What Happens Live, Sheena said some things that were kind of sketchy. I don't know. We'll get to that. But I don't know. If this is their way of getting on the Valley, then fine, whatever. But it feels like it's at the expense of their friendship with Ariana. And I don't like that. The next clip is Katie and Tori having their moment where they kiss. And this is what I'm here for. I don't want to see Schwartz and Sandoval being wussy pussies all over the place. Like, I want to see the women thriving. And I feel like this is one of those moments. And I loved it. The next scene, we have Joe and Lala at a hot dog stand. And I do have to say, Joe's hair looked good here. Joe is getting a lot of heat right now over Schwartz's hair. That was a huge topic, is a huge topic from this week's episode, and we'll talk about that soon. But there was just so many things that stood out to me that give me more insight into how awful Tom Schwartz really is, because Joe said a couple of things. One, she said, if I want Tom Schwartz in my life forever, then Lala is the way into that. That obviously indicates that Joe had every intention of having a relationship with Tom Schwartz in that moment, during that confessional, at least. Also, Lala asked Joe straight up if she knew about Sandoval and Raquel, and Joe was adamant that she had no idea. But on Watch What Happens Live, Sheena was adamant that she 100% knew about them because Joe drove Raquel to Big Bear when Sandoval and Schwartz were there on their like double date, whatever that was, like couples trip, and left Raquel in Big Bear with Sandoval. So I don't know what to believe. I mean, all the signs are saying, Joe, you knew, but Joe's saying no. What do you guys think? Leave a comment. Joe also said that Schwartz and her said that they love each other, that they sleep together. Like, basically, Joe is getting played by Schwartz right to her face, but she's like not really aware. And I understand, like, Schwartz may have said to her, like, oh, I don't want to be in a relationship and whatever, but he was still acting as if they were. And I guess that's, I don't know. Who's in the wrong here? Is it Schwartz for breadcrumbing Joe, or is it Joe for accepting that half-ass type of love? I don't know. It sucks, though. It's awful to see. I'm always going to, like, take a girl's side in this situation. So I think Schwartz is messed up for what he did to Joe. But at the same time, it's like Joe also navigated this whole friend group in a very strange way. She was Kristen Doty's crazy friend first, I think. Used to do Kristen's hair, Stassi's hair, then, and was friends with Katie, I think, at one point, or at least like by association. She made a point of not being on camera when she was friends with all the girls, but now she has a confessional. Something doesn't seem right. The next scene, they go to Top Golf, and we have a lot of social media content from that.
Look like a golfer?
Pro golf. Pro golfer.
You could hit some golf balls in that outfit. I've never hit a golf ball in my life. There she goes.
Sheena and Lala go to the fertility clinic. They're talking about estate planning, which this is the kind of stuff I want to see. However, I just find this, like, I have so many thoughts on Lala's journey, and I'm going to support her journey getting a sperm donor no matter what. But this topic as a whole, I've talked about it before, like, if cloning were as accessible as getting a sperm donor, would people start doing that instead and raising themselves as their children, which I don't think is that bad of an idea, to be honest. But I thought it was funny when Lala asked the guy, so the people who come in here and donate, are they here to just get some money, or like, are they good people? And the guy said, oh no, they're doing it to help others. I don't believe that for a second. And I need to know what you guys think too, because give me a break, dude. I want to know if that is true. I just want to know like one or two of these kind of men, and they could stay anonymous. I just want to talk to them. I want to ask them some questions. I want to know what brought them to do something like that. Cause I don't think that I doubt that they're doing it out of the goodness of their heart. They're like, wow, someone out there really just like wants a baby all to themselves and not have to worry about custody or feeling like their baby's going to be taken away from them. Like, bull. I don't believe any of that crap. I challenge someone to change my mind, but let's move on. We see Schwartz go to see Joe at work. So this is weird. The owner is there. And apparently, I don't know exactly where I saw this, but Schwartz also slept with this woman, the owner of the salon that Joe works at. And Joe goes on to bleach Tom's hair while he's telling her about this date that he has with Tori. And people are speculating because, like I said, everyone's talking about the hair. One, we're finding out from this episode that it's because Schwartz has gray hairs that he's been trying to cover. And they even, like, the producers even cut back to old hair colors. And that makes sense now. And I'm wondering if he stayed close with Joe to dye his hair to cover his grays. That was his way. I think that's why he hung on to Joe. And she was like, fuck this. We're dyeing your hair, dude. And if that's the case, I stan. I love it. If that was a revenge dye, I'm so here for it. I think he deserves it. But what they didn't show is I think they did more work or like re-bleached it or something. I'm not a hairstylist. I don't bleach my hair. I don't know, but people are going off in comments about how this technique is not it. I don't know. I don't know all the details, but Jax Taylor had a story back in August of Joe and the salon owner messing with Schwartz's hair at his place. So did they like do it again? I feel like we need to know more about the hair, and I don't think Andy's going to get to that at the reunion, right? We need the important questions answered. What do you guys think? Did Joe purposely bleach Tom's hair like that to make him as like revenge? Was it a revenge bleach? I like it if it is. So we see Tori and Katie go on a painting date. That was cute, but I don't know. I got the sense that Katie's like maybe attracted to Tori, but I don't know if she's like wants Tori as like a life partner. Not to say anything's wrong with Tori. I think the whole Bob Ross comment really showed her age. And like, it was kind of cute to see her admit that, because I think about stuff like that all the time, like how younger generations don't understand that we lived in a time where technology was way different and they're just growing up differently. So, but I think Katie probably in that moment, she seemed to be like, whoa, like we are very different people. I don't know. You guys tell me, what do you think about Tori and Katie's date? Okay. Next is singles night out. We have some behind the scenes content, not behind the scenes. We have so a lot of social media content from that night. The girls went out together. We had Lala, Katie, Ariana, and Sheena.
I didn't know the girls' night.
And then the guys, including Joe, go to the singles night at the Mondrian, which, by the way, does Mondrian pay Vanderpump Rules to do stuff there? I mean, that's where they do everything. They have their guys' nights there. That's where Raquel showed up after the Vegas trip in season 10. And now they're having the singles. It's just like, what is going on with the Mondrian? They love it there. But this is where Katie and Lala get into it, because Lala admits that she hung out with Joe and Katie doesn't like that. Rightfully so, I would say. Like, I already mentioned all the reasons why. The way Joe navigated this whole friend group is pretty strange and we need some answers. But Lala's trying to say, oh, I'm soft. I'm trying to be soft. But she's like being soft to everyone but her core friends. It makes no sense. At the guys' night, Schwartz winds up kissing a girl after Joe. This whole scene was sad because Joe invited herself and then she proceeded to act clingy and needy, and Schwartz still wound up making out with someone and she wound up just leaving. So that one I felt was on her that time. But then we see that the group went paintballing. I have some social media content from that day as well.
Where are we going?
Paintballing.
Schwartz.
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 We're paintballing. We could be goat cheese balling.
And this is what Brock
wears. We're going to go cheese ball tonight.
But then the final scene is Joe at Schwartz's place. Why she's there and he's not and acting like she lives there was kind of weird to me. But I'm glad Joe stood up for herself and she went into Schwartz. And basically Schwartz is a wussy pussy because Joe leaves crying and wants to call her dad. And it's very sad, but I'm glad she's actually confronting it instead of letting it go the way that Schwartz and Sandoval would allow it to go if they could, because they are wussy pussies. You couldn't tell. I just like them. All right. VPR after show. So they talk about Lala hanging out with Joe. Lala plays it down so hard. She's like, oh my God, you guys act like I'm having family dinner with her or whatever. And Katie double downs on not loving that Lala met with Joe. I think rightfully so. I wonder how they feel about it today. And I wonder what the status on Joe is today. Like, does she even hang out with any of them anymore? I don't know. Schwartz addresses the topic of Joe and is visibly uncomfortable. Brock has his moments. Brock goes, confusion is Schwartz's camouflage. And he really nailed it with that statement. That is spot on. Producer Jerry calls it breadcrumbing, like I mentioned before. And Ariana mentioned that out of all the people in the group, only Sandoval, Katie, and Joe have ever flown to North Florida to visit Schwartz's family. And so if she was Joe, she would think that she's his girlfriend too. I don't know. Everyone kind of feels bad for Joe now. I do feel bad for Joe because of Tom Schwartz, but I think she needs to take accountability for the way she navigated this group. However, Schwartz did mention the spark between Schwartz and Joe fizzled out by the time filming started. And I feel like we need more explanation and elaboration on that from Schwartz. He's always giving like half-assed pussy, wussy pussy answers. They talk about the house, and Tom continues to go on about how Ariana doesn't do anything around the house or pay bills. Come to find out, Ariana paid for a majority of the furniture in the house, and something about this feels scammy to me. Like, I think Tom Sandoval may be a scammer. The way he talks about specific furniture in the house, like the curtains, he's like, oh, she wanted the snake curtains and the mirror. I felt like I was watching a hoarder speaking. The way he talked about these items, this is why I think he is so delusional when it comes to this house. He's so attached to it. And Ariana even said the person who sold them their house is a lifelong friend of Sandoval's who gave him professional advice that selling the house would be the best option for them. Yet Tom Sandoval does not want to do that at all. Why? There's like some kind of delusion going on. It's weird. It's like hoarder-esque. And he goes on to say, oh, we'll figure it out without any judgment. So delusional. Ugh. Cool. Watch What Happens Live. We had Sheena and Brock on. There was kind of a lot that was in the show. First, I don't remember them saying this on The Valley that Jax and Brittany don't have sex, but they reminded us that they only had sex like twice in 1 year when they were married. Yeah, that's interesting. They did a lot of polls. Schwartz as a blonde, 93% said no. Schwartz and Joe winding up together, 76% said no. Were the girls too hard on Joe? 68% said yes. Who was a better match for Tori, Schwartz or Katie? 89% said neither. Most loyal friend in the group, 60% said Katie. Brock said something crazy like, oh, Katie's friends with herself first, and that's most important. I don't know what he's talking about. I noticed that on social media, a lot of people mentioned that Sheena should have known Raquel and Tom were having an affair if Sheena tracks all these people's locations. Apparently, Sheena said that she did notice that Raquel stopped sharing her location, sat her down, talked to her, called her out, asked her why, and I guess she never got a confession, obviously. There was a question about Sandoval's team planting the rumor that Brock and Raquel had an affair, and the answer, he didn't give us like a solid answer. He just said they have mutual friends in the media world who confirmed that. I still want Tom Sandoval to take that lie detector test. He said he would. Do it, man. Do it. Andy asks what Sheena thought about Ariana and Katie calling her essentially, I mean, I don't think they said pick me girl, but he said they essentially called her pick me girl on the after show. Sheena said she's releasing a new song about that soon and that she just recently went to Ariana's final show starring on Broadway in Chicago. Andy asked about Jax and Brittany separating. She said she's not surprised. Brittany deserves respect. She also said that Jax had the audacity to make comments about Sheena's show. I don't know if he means Vanderpump Rules or her shenanigans show, but also Jax made comments about Sheena's parenting. So Sheena, She's really good at plugging things. Like, she's great at it. She's a pro. She mentioned that she responded to it in her show, Shenanigans. Andy mentioned Gleb. Last week we talked about Gleb. And she was hurt by that. I mean, what's she going to say, Andy? Andy asked Sheena about Lala talking about Ariana. Sheena said she understands her frustration, appreciates the things Lala has been saying about Sheena. I don't know how that's related, but thinks Lala is a loyal and good friend, and everyone will understand after they see the reunion. Another plug. She's good, great at this. The mazel of the day was that Lala's having a girl. I posted a video of this, I think, from the Bravo Investigator in my stories. The jackhole of the day was Jax Taylor, because it was circulating on social media that he liked a post that said Jack should have married Stassi. Real quick, the Valley. What a chaotic show. Kristen is messy. And I really don't know. I don't know what to think about this whole situation, because Kristen is acting messy. So, and I feel like I'm having deja vu. It's like season 2 and 3 of Vanderpump Rules, when Kristen's like, oh, and everyone's like, oh my God, crazy Kristen. And then turns out crazy Kristen wasn't crazy after all. So I don't know what to think about this whole situation. But one part, Michelle gets loud. She stands up. She's really going at it. And she's like, you need to say that you never said it. And Kristen's like, so I have to pretend I said it? And Michelle was like, yeah. It's like Jen Shaw, yes. Jen Shaw in the bathtub, yes. And later on, Jesse, he's a freak, I think. I don't think him and Michelle should be together. Obviously, they're not anymore. But the story of them getting together, like she wasn't taking him seriously. So she canceled their date and then wound up booty calling him, and she got stuck with him. Be careful who you booty call, ladies. Might not be able to get rid of them. So, yeah, they're a mess. And I love, Jason is like the voice of reason. He's the lawyer. He's trying to just lay out facts. Since Zach's like, oh my gosh, your semantics are turning me on so much right now, I have to marry a lawyer. We're called sapiosexuals. I learned that from Alex on Summer House Martha's Vineyard. Season 1, who is not doing so great in season 2, but we're not talking about that today. Jesse is scary. He may even be scarier than Jax. And that's saying something. Vanderpump Villa, like I said, okay, it was brought to my attention that there's an article out there. I'll just put a link to it. Trigger warning, it's about domestic violence, and Eric from Vanderpump Villa apparently has a record, and it's upsetting as a viewer, because I think we expect, our expectations as viewers is that you're at least screening these people to know that you're not bringing this toxic behavior, criminal behavior onto our screens. And this is an ongoing topic that I've been talking about for a very long time. I think it started with the Jen Shaw thing. Like, I loved Jen Shaw when she started. And then to find out she was being indicted by the FBI, I was like, why are you doing this to me? And this stuff, a lot of stuff, the Mary Cosby stuff, that is all Googleable. Is that a word? You can Google all of this. And that's the part that's disappointing as a viewer. It's like, can we have some standards here? Ugh. But also, I just have heard some other things. I can't reveal sources or anything, but I just heard some things going on behind the scenes in casting that I didn't like. I don't even know if I'm going to watch it anymore. We'll see. We'll see. Maybe if they invited me to their party and sent me a box like other creators got, maybe I would be watching it. But since I didn't get any of that hospitality, I don't know what I'm going to do. Because I'm petty. Jenny Petty! We're coming to an end. Make sure you subscribe, follow, share, like, leave a comment, and 5-star rating for Bravo and Blaze on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to follow on social media @Bravo and Blaze. Until next week, y'all. Stay lit.